Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Cannot be tired. Let us pray in the Spirit. I know you know if you are involved. People are tired. People have gotten to their wit's end. They lack the strength to move on. Can we just pray? As much as Jesus cannot be tired, as much as Jesus cannot be weak, we receive strength. 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 There is power in your name. There is victory in your name. Every weak soul, for every soul that is tired, for every body that is tired, we receive strength. We receive hope. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Hallelujah. Let me see, Ted. It's good to be here. I appreciate God for this opportunity. I thank God for my father seated. I appreciate you, sirs. Mommy, God bless you. Mommy Belu, Father Ogi. I thank God that these people have shaped my life one way or another. I'm not the same person I was 10 years ago when I entered into these doors. Hallelujah. Was it 10 years? About 9, 10 years. I have moved. I have moved. My life has moved.
Hallelujah. I wanted to see something, but I will not see it. Praise God. I'm going to build the talk of this morning quickly based on what Adibilo has been teaching on the flesh and combating it. And if you have been in those teachings, I think I will assume that you have been in that teaching. So we are not going to go back and waste time. There is something God, a thought I've been bringing on my mind for some time. And that's the issue of desires. So I'll tag this message, the mystery of desires. Desires. Sir? Maybe I should change message. Desires. Hallelujah. But we can't talk about these things and not talk about desires. It's a gift that God gave, the ability to desire. God gave it. And everything God made, everything that is alive in God, has the ability to desire. Even outside God. When I say outside God, I mean even things that don't obey the will of God. They also have the ability to desire. For example, we know that even sin has the ability to desire. What did they tell Cain? He said, sin is at the door and his desire is to conquer you. Hallelujah. So even for you as a person and for me as a person, we are beings of desire. I don't know why God did it that way. But one of the things that keeps a man going in life is that he still desires to live. If you have met people who have lost the desire to live, there's nothing you can give them. There's something they call psychosomatic medicine that is healing the body through the mind. Yes, it exists. In other words, if you are able, and it's true, if you are able to engineer a man's mind to still have reasons to live, if you are able, if you succeed at it, there's every likelihood its body will live. If you don't have desire to live, we can be praying for you from now till tomorrow. There's nothing that will happen. Are we together? That is the very first thing that even keeps a man, especially in a country like Nigeria, you go better. Praise God. Abi, is that not what we say? It will be better. I remember those days before year 2000. If you remember that song on radio and on TV. Good lights, water, but cool lights, no go, they quench you. Bridge, go, they have. You know, you remember that song, year 2000? See, now, all those things, nothing has happened. But we keep forging. Why? Because somewhere, somehow, an average Nigerian has developed himself. And there's a desire to live and survive. So, what exactly is this thing called desire? Actually, like Pastor Bello said, the dictionary is going to fail us. I looked into the Bible and I saw that the word desire was used about 180-something times. That word is powerful. Scattered, beginning from Genesis down to Revelation. The word desire. And desire. And desire. Hallelujah. Don't mind me that I'm using a holy phone. That was the best way I could put my thoughts down at that time it was coming. So it's a gift from God, actually, and God gave it. As a matter of fact, let's ask ourselves a question. What led to Adam? I thought Adam and Eve were actually very, very perfect. That says God looked at everything he made and he saw that it was good. But there was something God left. And actually, we will not find that thing in the new man. When I mean the new man, I mean the resurrected Lord. The resurrected Lord does not have the propensity to sin. In fact, if sin comes close to him, sin will evaporate. Do you understand? Please allow me to use that poetic expression. He can't sin. It's not like he doesn't want to. He can't just... When he was here in his body, of course, he had temptations. But as he is right now, he cannot be tempted. I think we don't have any problem with that. But those people in the garden, the man and his wife in the garden, then they could be tempted. And God left something there. It was called desire. So what was supposed to be of advantage to them became an instrument of their fall. I don't know if they could be tempted. Let us read that place. What made the woman take that fruit? Genesis 3. That should be around verse 6. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired, to make one wise. You see that the root of their problem was that there was desire. And God allowed us to be like that. God made man to be that way. And we will never be free from our desires. Praise God. Even in Revelation chapter 6, when the fifth seal was broken, John said he saw the souls of those who had been martyred for the sake of the word of God. He saw their souls under the altar, and they were asking, "Oh Lord God, faithful and true, when are you going to do what? Avenge our blood of those who killed us." They still had desires. So let me bless you that you never be free from that thing they call what? Desires. Even when we cross to that other side, we will not become robots. We will still have desires. So when does our desire, because it's an old teaching, I trust God that for anything we are not able to deal with today, God will help us to tackle it on Tuesday when the video comes up. When exactly, so your desires are actually legit. They are fine. They are okay to desire. There are some of us who think that desiring in itself is a sin. Do you understand? You think that when you desire, you are being carnal. I remember telling somebody back then when I was on campus, I don't ask for things from God. You know, if you come from that, if you drank a bit from that stream, you know, I don't ask God for anything. Person told me, oh boy, better ask God. You better ask God. We will never be free from it. It's legit to desire. There are religions in the world that the pinnacle of their spirituality is that you stop desiring anything. You start desiring material things. That's the pinnacle of their spirituality. But that's not what is here. Paul wrote it that in the end, a time will come when people will start preaching that people should not get married and should abstain from eating certain foods. It's not... Take that as a universal set. There are many, many subsets inside that statement that Paul made. They'll be preaching abstinence. Don't do this. Don't. You must have met people who attach all those don't do things. They attach it to spirituality. Hallelujah. In a bit to kill the desire. But it's going to be there. It is how you channel it that is the important thing. When did these people in the garden, Adam and Eve, when did their desire start becoming a problem? When they started contravening the word of God? There was already an instruction that you should not eat from that tree. So you understand when we talk to you and say, that guy, we don't think he loves God. Or some church people, they will even tell them that guy, we don't think he's born again. Yet that is where your heart is. So when did it become lost? Lost is outside, like we've heard. It's everywhere. John, 1 John 2:15, he said, all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, it's everywhere. Just like they brought it to Adam, they brought Jesus' own to him too. They are going to bring you your own too. So I'm not standing here and holding mic because I think I have conquered my own. Hallelujah. He's everywhere. He's there. He's everywhere. Have you seen cars before and you say, my? Like Pastor will see Mercedes. When we are coming from Akumba, he will say, that is a machine. You know that Mercedes thing is there. It took me time to deliver myself from Mercedes. Because Pastor was already baptizing me into Mercedes. So when I wanted to buy my Honda, I felt very bad. The way Pastor would tear Honda. You, not only Honda. Or GMC or BM. You also have your own. Hallelujah. So we find that they were there and their desires didn't translate, didn't buy them lost. Because what we do with our desires is that we trade with our desires. We trade with it. Whatever you desire, except of course you are able to keep it in. Except of course you are able to exercise control. But one thing we do with desires is that we trade with it. The woman looked at it and saw that that fruit was a tree that was desired to make one wise. And they traded what God gave to them for it. So at what point are your desires also being traded for lust? I know that lust is negative love. You think the opposite of love is hate. It's not hate. The opposite of love is actually lust. If you have done mathematics and number, real number analysis very well, you will know that when you draw plot graph, there's positive x, there's negative x, there's positive y. It's just like cancer. No, cancer is just negative life. It's life, it's alive, but it is what? Because it is counterproductive. It grows faster, and the problem is that it grows faster than the normal body cells. And it will use up all the nutrients that the normal body cells are supposed to use. It's so, all the cells in your body, as big as they are not disturbing you. But just have one small lump of cancer, you find the way, even when they bring it down, they still find that these things still, they grow fast, they are terrible, they are alive, but they are counter-life. That is what loss is. Loss is counter-love. And that is when you begin to love inordinately. Yorubas, what do they call it? Ife, kufe. I like the Yorubas. Clap for them. They are. When you begin to love, when you know that this thing is bad, this thing is not right, it's not okay, it's not good, but yet, and you know what? People can feed their desires. People fall sick because that's how strong desires can be. People fall sick because they desire something and they can't get it. One guy faked his sister's rape. He didn't even fake it. He fell sick, actually. You remember the son of David? Amnon. Fell sick because he wanted to commit incest. Not even incest plus rape. And he fell sick. He could not eat. He was growing lean. Desires are powerful. Now it can be. You know the things you have desired to. People have desired things and they have cut corners. So people have desired things from God and they have scammed God. Hey God, if you give me this thing, I will serve you. God gave them. They used their desire to scam God. Hallelujah. That's how strong, how terrible that thing can be. You will not understand it until Jesus came in Mark 11, chapter 24. And he began to talk about whatsoever things you desire when you pray. You know, Jesus was already going, when Jesus said that thing, he had already entered Jerusalem. He was already going to the end of his ministry. He was already nearing the end. And inside all the revelations and the big messages Jesus taught, he found a way to drop that principle. You know, there were certain principles that Jesus dropped. If you look at only the writings of Paul, you will be tempted to cast it aside. You know, some people have tried to tear that because of they feel you shouldn't desire anything. I don't know what your problem is. Jesus said, anything that you desire when you pray, you can't hear it from the Bible. God still respects people's desires. And like I said, even after we cross to the other side, our desires are still going to be there. Hallelujah. So you can't cut it off. You can't cut it off. So sometimes some of those cravings we are having, some of those motions that are happening to us, when you find it sometimes, it is lost trying to appeal to your sense of desire. And the faster we are able to control it, the better. Somebody was in the scriptures, he said, anything my soul desire. He said, I did not restrain myself. I did not keep back. I gave my soul everything it wanted. You will never come there in Jesus' name. You know, the liberal movement in the world now is, if you feel like if it's okay for you, just go ahead and what? Just go ahead and get it. If you can sleep with yourselves on the road. Doesn't concern the fact. Very soon they will legalize stealing. So if you can steal it. I don't know. The world may come there where they will blame the owner. You know, in Ibadan, they blame the owner of the sin. Maybe the world is going to come there where he stole it. It's legal. You are the one that didn't keep your secret. Because, I don't know. The world is just going crazy. You sentence somebody that steals some of these political office holders, not in Nigeria, in the year. If you accuse them for mismanaging $100, they resign. That is how much they think they are still alive to conscience. But for man to marry man, it's okay, it's not. So you see what is happening in the world. Hallelujah. So, at what point our desires begin to give us issues? It is when they begin to pull us towards loss, and then we begin to contravene God's law and God's love. Loss does not build up. That's the truth. Only love builds up. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. But when it is lost, it doesn't build. It tears apart. Okay, it's against God's will and it will always be counterproductive. So God put the ability to desire in everything he made, even Satan. According to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, we saw his own desires. We saw what he wanted. Isaiah 14:13. He says, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." He desired. So if I and my wife saw a news online, a couple in New Zealand, I think they won a court case to name their child Lucifer. Did you see that news? I said, I want you, I want to hear. Of all the names in the world, fine. The name is Light Bearer. But do you want to bear Judas? Even though we know that Judas is Judah. So if you name somebody Judah, it's okay. But when you name the person Judas, it's not okay. You don't get that. Judas is the Greek rendering of Judah. Eh? So when you name your child Judah, it's okay. But when you say Judas, especially when you add Iscariot, according to Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 26, let's quickly read some scripture while I try to run. I can't do justice to this, but I will just make sure we... Deuteronomy 14:26 says, "And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after." Imagine that. God was saying this. KJV. Some version puts desire. Okay?
for oxen or for sheep or for wine or for strong drink or for whatsoever thy soul, thank God, they have used the word desire, that lust, eh? But it's God that said it. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice thou and thine household. Saying that, you know, Paul also wrote to us in the New Testament that it's God that freely gives us all things to enjoy. Hallelujah. It is God. All things should be received with thanksgiving. It's only when, you know, I don't know, some mothers are here and they will understand what they call craving in pregnancy. Hallelujah. Though me, God didn't let me suffer. God was merciful to me. He didn't let me suffer that too much. But I know that my friend here didn't escape. He's mild. That one is still mild. That you will cross roads to go. Sorry, am I revealing our secret? Okay, they say that is mild. I don't know whether Mommy Sam's own was mild. Only Brobola can tell, but don't talk. Hallelujah. That's the way that thing works. It works like that. And of course, you have to give it to them if you want to have peace. Surely when they ask for in the middle of the night, you'll be begging them for daybreak. Just wait. And funny enough, by daybreak, they may have switched to something else. And they are looking for ice cream. And sometimes very ridiculous in school. No. Where will you get that? Or Kilishi, where will you get that? That thing just, I don't know what part of the brain controls that. That thing, you know, even when you are not pregnant, there are times you just feel like eating fried pepper and, you know, I don't know who preaches that gospel. I don't know where that gospel comes from. And that's what you'll be looking. Sometimes it's moi garnished with. And you'll be looking something somewhere in the brain. Something is happening. And you are looking for it. And it's really not your body eating it, like Pastor will tell us. It is your soul. That's why if you eat one pound of garri and you eat 1 pound of, what's the name of that, your company? Let's shop for you. The package food for you. The same garri and epa, the same quantity. They can fill your stomach the same way. But when you finish eating the two, when you finish the garri, it's not likely you go to sleep. You can't sleep. But when you eat that other one, it's the same quantity. So somehow, you just tell your soul, So tell me, was it the body? What if you had eaten something you never, you know, really desired of the same magnitude, you would not. I know how I feel when I drink garri and honestly, especially when I fast. I like to break with garri and kuli kuli, you understand? Just the thing, before I break the fast, that's no food will smell to me, but garri and kuli kuli, let me just get with cold water. I don't know if it does anybody like that. You have your own. Hallelujah. That desire in the realm that is physical. So how do we now, when he now pushes us into things that affect our faith, things that affect our relationship with God. And let me tell you this, a man without desires cannot walk with God. If your desires are blunt, if you are a man that is like, also said one time, how can you come before a king? You come before the onion of Ife. Just enter into his palace and he's asking you, why are you here? Mokonwa banshe, mokonwa king. It doesn't work that way. It is still that thing. But the Lord will help us purify it so that we can channel it. You can't kill it. It will be there. It's okay to want to live in a good house. It's okay to want to build a good house. It's okay to want to drive a good car. And I have mashed good pedals before, and I have mashed my pedal before, you understand? I know that car is different from car. Did you watch that film, Living in Bondage, when that guy entered Ferrari? And he was pressing it slow, and the owner of the car said, this is a Ferrari. The guy said, I'm afraid. He said, this car was made for speed. Match it. Do you understand? There are cars that when you enter, you will match it. And it will not have accidents.
There are some cars, even when you don't match them, they will have accidents. There are things we shouldn't desire. For example, God said, don't desire your neighbor's wife. You know, in the church in Corinth, some people were defrauding. Brothers were, we are trying in PGT. We are trying. And that's why there's hope for us. In that Corinthian church, there were many things happening. Brother was defrauding brother. I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter, is it chapter 6? Where Paul was talking about people going to law court and all that. And he was giving a warning. And he was saying, don't deprive your brother based on this. Let's read Deuteronomy. What chapter is that? I think it's chapter 26, if I'm correct. It's chapter 5, verse 21. God has no problem with us desiring, but it puts borderlines. 5:21 says, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house. It's okay to desire, but not your neighbor's wife. And not his property, not his house, not his field, not his manservant or his maidservant, his ox or his ass, or anything that is what? That is thy neighbor's. It's a mystery. It's just a mystery. And when people do religion and they try to kill their desires, people say they do Christianity, and Christianity without desires is simply religion. Do you understand? It's religion. God needs it. And that's why we must pray that God will help us to polish it. God will help us to purify it. You will not love the things you shouldn't love. You will not desire the things you should not desire. The same Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. It says, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver and gold that is on them. It's okay to desire silver and gold. But God is saying, don't desire the one that is on graven image. Because when you see it, there's what we call luster or luster. I don't know how to explain it. One of the properties of metals in chemistry is that they have this metallic lust. And I think maybe that's where the word, I don't know if that was the original, the word is from the word lust. They shine. Okay? They shine. And when they shine, there's a way it pulls the heart. Not take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Let us go to the New Testament. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, that what thing soever you desire when you pray, it is assumed here that when you are praying to God, you are praying in his will. Because we must draw that, we must create that set. See, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and what? You shall have them. This scripture, you know the ministry of somebody like Reverend E. Egan, this was more like his favorite scripture. And it worked. It worked. Jesus was confirming the fact that even when you come to pray, don't come to pray without desire. It's a waste of time. And how do we know you don't have desire? Sometimes our attitude in prayer, we know you don't have any, you know. People who do, what did Jesus call it in that Matthew chapter 5 or chapter 6? People who do vain repetitions fall into this category. People who do vain repetitions, they have no desires. They are just reading national anthem. You know, back in primary school, when we didn't know all the wordings of national anthem, we say one nation, Nigeria, Kolobi, to serve our fatherland. When we get to that, we say, one day, Shampa. It's a routine we are doing. Do you understand? And don't be surprised that there are people in the university that cannot read Nigeria's, in Nigeria university, they can't read, they don't know the full anything. They are still saying Neshopa in that, at that level. So what are we saying? We were just reading rote. Don't come to God and pray. Don't relate with God based on rote. I used to tell my wife, I said serving God is deliberate. It's deliberate. When we wake up at night, you don't pray when it is convenient to pray. You say, God, I want to come and have an appointment with you. Don't just pray because you slept and open your eyes. So the next thing, anytime you open your eye, the next thing is to pray. You are joking. You won't get God. As a matter of fact, your desires are supposed to be channeled into loving God. That's the first. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with your soul, with your strength. Spirit, soul, and what? And body. So when we come to God, don't be flippant. Please let me know how much time I have left. It's to round up. Don't come to God flippantly. Don't come to Him flippantly. We are not coming to a stone. We are coming to God. We are not coming to somebody who is dead. Let's end it at that John's scripture in 1 John chapter 5. I think that's verse, is it 17? Where it talked about our confidence. The confidence that we have in Him. Is it chapter 5? That place where, okay, we're reading about if our heart condemns us. Okay, that's chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever things we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. 23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of God. There's let's go back to that 22. There's something I'm looking for. Is that the place where it talks about this, the confidence that we have in Him? Five. Thank you. I confused myself. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I try to desire is strong. Desire is strong. It's a passion. If you have a Bible that has a concordance, or you can search, just search for the word desire. You will see it scattered all over. Hallelujah. And sometimes they are misplaced desires. Some desires are legit, but they are misplaced. For example, Jesus said, whoever among you desires to be first, let him first. So if you are always desiring to be first, is a misplaced desire. Jesus said, if you desire to be there, and you just look all, no. The way to get there is to, desire is fine. Jesus didn't, when those James and John came and said, let us, put us by your side and your left. Jesus is not reprimanded. Jesus only asked them, can you pay the price? They said, we can pay the price. Hey, even if you will definitely pay it. One of them was killed in Acts chapter 5 or so. He said, yes, you will pay it. He said, but it is not mine to give, but at least they made an attempt. What if
they are still waiting for people to fill the space, and they came. That's how Jesus would have handed it over to them. I know the others were angry. Why would they be? But they channeled their desire to engage God. So he said, whatever petitions that we desire, we'll receive of him. So ensure that your desires are not misplaced, one. Some desires, they are over misplaced. The desire of the slothful man will kill him. So you read that in your Bible. The desire of the slothful man will kill him because he is not working with his hands. That one is over misplaced. That one is over desire. I don't know what to term it with. It's not the Ole that will kill him. That desire, go, he has. Because, just like Amnon, that desire of his was eating up his body. So if you find somebody who is lazy, he doesn't work, and he wants to make money, he will do Yahoo Yahoo. If he doesn't do Yahoo Yahoo, somewhere, somehow, that's when you are desiring and you don't get, there's a way it, even the Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart, even for you as a believer, if your hope is deferred, it can make your heart sick. Not to talk of somebody who is an unbeliever. Upon that, he's slothful. He is going to die. We can't go beyond that for today. But take this home, that your desires, your ability to desire is God-given. And it's not to be, it's not, you can't play down, you can't play it down. You should ensure that you are within the ambit of God's word. That's the only thing. Let us be ambitious. Let's have ambitions. Let's want to progress. Let's want to move up. Hallelujah. Let's want to move up. Let's follow the examples of people who have done these things well and have done it good. It is not God's plan for you to be small. It is not God's plan for you to be little. Hallelujah. They told Lot, run to the mountains. Lot said, no, let me run to Zoar. And the meaning of Zoar is what? Little. And it was actually little. Because his story didn't end well. So it's okay to be ambitious. It's okay to want to forge ahead. It's okay to want to move as long as the word of God forms the boundaries for us. Father, we thank you for the word this morning. We thank you, Father, that beyond what we've been able to say, you are communicating. I want you to bring your desires to God. You say, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Our desires are not wild desires. Our desires are desires in God. Can we pray and say, Lord, this is it. This is it. Lord, you said I should believe that I receive and I will receive. Lord, these are my desires. Help me. Help me. I believe you and I take you for your word. We thank you, Father. We exalt you. Pray and say, Lord, help me to not to misdirect my desires. Help me to not lose control. Help me to not be dead while I am still alive. Paul said, she that lives in pleasure is dead while she is still living. Let my desires not kill me. Let me not have meat in my mouth and still die. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our Men of Spirit field meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.